in Christ, according to Luke, chapter 13, beginning at verse 31.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today, and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You can be seated. Let me pray before I share. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it reveals to us your truth. And Lord, as we consider it, would you make us more like your Son, Jesus? For we ask it in his name and for his name. Amen.
Amen.
Can I just start by saying a huge thank you for an invitation to come and share. I'll be honest, I find it's very intimidating, a lot of learned people in the room, but I count it a privilege to be able to share from God's word. My name is, by way of introduction, my name is Wilson Beer. I have the privilege of serving as the CEO of the Bible Society in Northern Ireland. And I know some of you will have heard Catherine speak, so I had the privilege of taking over from where Catherine left off. She's going to be great foundations. Married to Leslie, we live in Portadown, not too far from here, only about an hour and a half or so. Two boys, Caleb, who's 15, and Jude, who's 10. And I privileged to serve as part of Bible Society Northern Ireland. I also have the privilege of serving as a chaplain to Portadown Football Club. Now, some of you have never heard of them, but they're a big thing in the Irish League. So I'm sharing as part of that ministry. I want to share from our second reading, which was in Philippians, and looking in a wee bit at the life of Paul and what we can learn in terms of our witness and our mission that we're called to. And there was a survey done not that long ago of people aged over 95, and they were asked the question, what would you do differently if you could live your life over again? Interesting question. 95 years. And the three top things were, number one, they would risk more. Okay, they would take more risks. Two, they would reflect more. Life's very busy, we run around, but they would take more time to reflect on the important things. And this is the one that caught me. And this is one that speaks to Paul's life. It says they would do more things that would live on after they'd gone. They would do more things that live on after they'd gone. They would live to leave a legacy. And that was Paul's mission and heartbeat, was to leave a legacy, to build up a church, to give everything. And I love reading the stories of Paul. I talk about his imprisonments, his lashings, his... One portion of scripture talks about a night and a day he spent in the deep. I imagine yourself, I'm sure there were questions. What am I doing? But it was that single focus to build up the church that kept him going. Such was his conviction, such was his transformation. He was determined to build up the church. And it's that I really want to focus in on. Paul writes in the New Testament, he writes from prison to encourage others to keep going in the faith, to keep giving themselves to the building up of the church and the proclamation of the good news of Jesus. We see that through the letters. And it talks time and time, helpful language. It talks about running a race. It's been a long time since I ran a race. I only have one knee, really. The other one doesn't really count. It doesn't work. I did train for a marathon. Only got to 12 miles and I had to call the day. So I decided to go on a bike instead. It's hard. But the Bible talks time and time again. Paul uses language of a race. Of a race and passing on. I consider my life worth nothing if only I may finish the race. Complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. 1 Corinthians, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets a prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Galatians 5:7, you were running a good race. Who kept cut in on you, kept you from obeying the truth. Hebrews 12, let's run with perseverance. Is it a 100-meter race? That was more my thing, was over quick. Is it 100 meters? Not. It's much more like a marathon that is full of highs and lows and challenges and times of questioning. I'm ready to give up. But we're going to take another step further. It's actually a marathon relay. Because there's a charge to pass on to the generations that come. A charge to pass on to those around us. This good news. So as I reflected on this, as I reflected on the life of Paul and this whole imagery of run the race, there's a couple of things that I want to spend about 10 minutes just looking at, if that's okay. There's a challenge to run my race. I have to say, when I was coming here, I'm coming to an institution, a place of academia, a place of learning, and the temptation is to try and fit in. So I got a few books out, didn't understand what was happening. So I thought, no, that's not me. I run my race. I'm not called to be someone else. And how often do we try and fit in with what's going on around us? But Paul says, run your race. There's only going to be one of you. I spent 16 years as a youth worker, or sort of leading a youth organization called Urban Saints. And you used to go in the schools and well, you know by reading the media, the pressure's on young people to be what the world says they should be. And they stop, their mental health suffers and struggles under this pressure. And the message of the Bible, the message in the good news is, be yourself, be who God created you to be. There's not going to be another one of you. Discover what God has for you and go after that, and champion them up. Run your race. Run it well. I don't know if you've heard the phrase that your ceiling should be someone else's floor. You heard that before? That your ceiling, where you get to, should be the platform for those coming next. So run your race well. Roger Bannister, do I know who he is? Famous for running the sub-4-minute mile. Physiologist. I studied physiology at Queen's many years ago. I'm using that a lot now. In fact, this is only 10 years physiology. Physiologist said it can't be done. Your heart will explode. Simply cannot be done. Roger McBannister ran it in 3 minutes, 59 seconds. 46 days later, someone beat his record. His ceiling, someone else's floor. Same for us then, in terms of our faith. Live in such a way, in an excellent way, that our ceiling is the next generation's floor, or those around us. Run your race well. And that's where we come to the passage we read in Philippians. It says 3:17, join with others in following my example. Follow my example. Talks about it in 1 Corinthians, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Philippians 4:19. Run your race well. Put an example. Follow the example of Christ. I've been doing a lot of kind of studying, a wee bit of research in terms of, I've only been with Bible Society for 6 months, and we're doing a bit of work around strategy, but grounded in that is a bit of research in terms of where we are as a society, and I think we'd all agree that we're moving away from a place of faith, although there is encouragements in that. We see life in that. But one stat that stood out for me was a decline in those who said they were Christian from 58% to 48% in a period of 10 years. People walking away from faith. Why is that? This is the most exciting thing and the most exciting life we can have. Live life to the fullest. Erwin McManus said, if people are going to walk away from Christ, we need to raise them in such a way that they understand to walk away from Jesus is to walk away from a life of faith, risk, adventure, and choose a life that is boring, mundane, and ordinary. What a challenge. What a challenge to run a race well that encourages others and draws others in. Is that about being perfect? Absolutely not. Paul says, I haven't got there yet. Not that I have attained it yet. Not to be perfect. And I've been married, well, we were talking about this at the weekend, I've been married 19 years now. Never a crossword. Well, no, there's been a few along the way. And you're around, and sometimes you would get into an argument. I don't know, these things happen. And you'll have your kids come up to you and say, Mama, you and Mommy arguing. And the temptation is to say, no, we're not. But actually, we're not perfect. And the answer is, yes, we are. But I want you to know that I love your mum. I love her enough that we're going to get this sorted out. We're honest and vulnerable about our imperfections. It's not about being right all the time and perfect all. Not that I have attained it yet. But to live in such a way that draws others in. And then, in America, we pass the baton on. We pass it on. I am here, standing in front of you today, because of a graduate from here? Graduate? Yes, would you graduate from here? Willie Nixon. He's a minister in Banbridge. He was my youth leader. And as a young person, everyone else wrote me off. Okay? Not much chance. Not great at academia. Played a wee bit of sport. But he saw something. He saw potential. And he invested in me. He shared this story with me, this life-changing story of Jesus. He invested when no one else would. And through a mission in the Church of Ireland, I gave my life to Jesus. Through the mentoring of him, I grew in my faith. He allowed me to make mistakes. He allowed me to take risks. And he nurtured me in the faith. He passed the baton on. Each one of the leaders we respect today once was a child whose potential was identified, shaped and released by those who preceded them as leaders, teachers and other agents of influence. I stand here because someone passed the baton on to me. And Billy's not old, he's still passing the baton on. But he's shaped me. And I just want to finish with another imagery from a race. We have a responsibility to cheer people on. So we run our race well. We run our race, we run it well, we pass the baton, but we cheer on. How well do we cheer on those around us in our churches, our parishes, our communities? Call them into all that they can be. I speak for Northern Ireland. I don't dare to speak for the whole island. We're very good at sarcasm, okay? And playing people down. So when people have aspirations, we're very cynical. You know, we're like, oh, well, your headmaster doesn't have GCSE, so what's your chance of succeeding? And we're very quick at putting people down. And actually, no, we're to cheer them on. To cheer them into all that God has for them. To identify those opportunities and stand with them as they explore faith and grow in that faith. African Children's Choir came to our town years ago. I love when they introduce themselves. They used to get up, my name is, and one day I'm going to be a doctor. Next one come up, my name is, and I want to be a lawyer. And everyone cheered. Yes, do it. And that's what we're being called to in this sense of a race and passing on, cheering people on. There's nothing like when you're feeling down, and when Paul was in prison and all those things, even sure encouragement kept him going. And remembering that first call and going back and being reminded of it time and time again kept him going. So we run our race, we run it well, we pass the baton on, and we cheer people on. We cheer them on into all that God has for them. That's why I do mission. Because someone took the time to introduce me to Jesus, to shape me and to launch me. Their ceiling was simply my floor. I have to set a ceiling for someone else. And granted, my ceiling is probably not going to be as high as others, but that is a challenge. And it starts in my home with my boys. But it's in my football club as well, as I'm a chaplain. I call them in the morning. The people I come into contact with. That's why I love the story of Paul, this sense of determination. Imitate me. I'm not giving this up. Despite being beaten and tortured in prison, I'm not giving up. Until your kingdom come. Until your kingdom come. I want to finish by just reading a story, if that's okay, and then I'll pray, and then I'll hand back. In 1858, this may be a familiar story. In 1858, Boston Sunday school teacher named Kimball began visiting one of his students at a shoe shop where he worked as a clerk. Eventually, he led him to Christ. The student's name was D.L. Moody. 21 years later, Moody, now an evangelist, visited London, and a great spiritual awakening took place. F.B. Meyer, a local pastor, went to hear, and his life was changed. Meyer went to the USA to preach, and in one of his meetings, a student named J. Wilbur Chapman got saved. Chapman became an active in the YMCA, where he met and discipled a former baseball player called Billy Sunday. What a name. Billy Sunday. Sunday became a great evangelist, and in one of his crusades in Charlotte, a group of businessmen came to Christ. A year later, those businessmen decided that their city would run a mission event. They invited Mordecai Ham to speak. After 3 weeks, Ham left discouraged because he had only one convert, a 12-year-old boy called Billy Graham. It all started with a Sunday school teacher. It all started with a Sunday school teacher. It took years.